From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Iraq's Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is calling on followers to resist what he calls the American occupation by whatever means necessary. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports Sadr spoke to thousands gathered at a rally to celebrate his return to Iraq after years of self-imposed exile.
Supporters, clerics, and bodyguards wept and sang as Sadr approached the podium and gave his first public speech in Iraq in nearly 4 years. Sadr led supporters in cries of, "No, no, America." Sadr's militia, the Mahdi Army, waged fierce battles against American troops during the war. But now Sadr says only certain people should take up arms. The rest, he says, should stick to politics. Sadr's party took about 12% of the seats in parliament and will control several public works ministries. Sadr left Iraq in late 2006 or early 2007 to pursue religious studies in Iran. It's unclear whether an arrest warrant against him for the killing of a rival cleric is still valid, which means it's unclear whether Sadr will remain in Iraq. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Najaf.
President Obama says there are clear signs the economy is improving. Matthew Algio reports the president also used his weekly address today to reach out to the new Republican majority in the House.
Although the most recent job report was mixed, President Obama says overall things are looking up.
The economy added 1.3 million jobs last year, and each quarter was stronger than the last, which means the pace of hiring is picking up.
The president also called on Republicans to put aside what he called symbolic battles. But in the GOP address, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor promised Republicans would keep fighting at least one battle, the battle to repeal the president's health care law.
We will provide Americans with the mainstream solutions they were denied when Democrats used dubious procedural tactics to jam through the bill along strictly partisan lines.
Cantor said the best way to improve the economy is to cut spending and eliminate what he called job-killing regulations. For NPR News, I'm Matthew Algio in Washington.
Already flooded regions of Australia are being inundated by more rain that forecasters say is likely to continue through the middle of next week. Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard calls the scale of flooding overwhelming.
We are talking about huge areas, lots of water. A lot of it still very fast moving.
Gillard's comments come on the heels of her first tour of flood-ravaged Queensland. In Sudan, clashes continue between southern forces and unity supporters ahead of southern Sudan's vote on independence tomorrow. At least six people have been killed. Southern Sudan is widely expected to vote to secede from the north. This is NPR News. Big banks are keeping a close eye on the fallout from yesterday's ruling against U.S. Bancorp and Wells Fargo. Massachusetts' highest court affirmed a lower court ruling that invalidated two foreclosures because the banks didn't prove they owned the mortgages that were foreclosed on in the first place. The decision is expected to lead more borrowers to sue bank servicers for wrongful foreclosure. Thousands of homes are believed to have been purchased through foreclosures that were based on defective titles. Prosecutors in Colorado have broken up a drug ring that allegedly used medical marijuana laws to conceal its illegal business. NPR's Jeff Brady says officers seized more than 100 pounds of pot, nearly 700 plants, and $175,000 in cash.
Nine people face indictments that claim they used packets of photocopied patient records as a cover. The Colorado Attorney General's office says the plan was to show the records used for the state's medical marijuana program to law enforcement to convince officers the large growing operations were legal. But prosecutors say much of the pot was being sold out of state for up to $7,000 a pound. Colorado Attorney General John Southers, who opposes the state's medical marijuana law, says this case shows there's a nexus between the legal and illegal marijuana trades. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
WikiLeaks says U.S. officials have issued subpoenas for details about its Twitter account. The website says U.S. investigators have gone to Twitter headquarters demanding private messages, contact information, and other personal details related to founder Julian Assange and others, including the Army analyst suspected of giving WikiLeaks classified information. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.